booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
And good morning, everybody. This is Rita Cosby here in for the 77 Early News on WABC. In for Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano, who are both off. I am thrilled to be with all of you. And here are the top five at 5 o'clock.
This is the top five at five.
The 15-year-old Michigan high school gunman is arraigned as an adult terrorist. Police say that Ethan Crumley had a meeting with his parents and teachers to discuss his behavior just 3 hours before he opened fire in the hallways of Oxford High School, and he killed 4 of his classmates. Prosecutors said that they had plenty of evidence to show that he carefully planned the deadly attack.
2 separate videos recovered from Ethan's cell phone taken in a search warrant depicted a video made by him the night before the incident wherein he talked about shooting and killing students the next day at Oxford High School. A preliminary review of social media accounts indicate that Ethan Crumley had access to a firearm and he practiced with a Sig Sauer handgun.
We've charged 4 counts of first-degree murder, which requires premeditation. And I am absolutely sure, after reviewing the evidence, that it isn't even a close call.
And Crumbly's motive for the shooting on Tuesday remains unknown. And the U.S. Supreme Court signals that it may uphold abortion limits in a controversial Mississippi case after the high court heard 90 minutes in oral arguments on Wednesday. The Mississippi law bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, with only a few exceptions, such as for medical emergencies. A majority of the court's conservative justices suggested they were prepared to discard the court's previous standard that prevented states from banning abortions before the fetus becomes viable, which is generally considered to be 24 weeks into pregnancy. Justice Brett Kavanaugh said this.
I think the other side would say that the core problem here is that the court has been forced by the position you're taking and by the cases to pick sides on the most contentious social debate in American life, and to do so in a situation where they say that the Constitution is neutral on the question of abortion, the text and history, that the Constitution's neither pro-life nor pro-choice on the question of abortion. And they would say, therefore, it should be left to the people, to the states, or to Congress. And I think they also then continue, because the Constitution is neutral, that this court should be scrupulously neutral on the question of abortion, neither pro-choice nor pro-life.
And 3 more liberal justices warned that the court would appear to be a political body if it tossed out abortion rulings that the country has relied on for decades, such as Roe v. Wade. Dr. Anthony Fauci said he believes that the travel ban put in place to protect the U.S. from the new Omicron COVID-19 variant will only be temporary. He told a reporter in the White House briefing room that they struggled with the ban for people from 8 African countries and said they wanted to see if they could just buy time temporarily. Meantime, Fox reporter Peter Ducey asked Fauci about the apparent hypocrisy of banning flights into Africa while a historic number of illegal immigrants come through our southern border and are not being tested.
Dr. Fauci, as you advised the president about the possibility of new testing requirements for people coming into this country, does that include everybody?
The answer is yes, because you know that the new regulation, if you want to call it that, is that anybody and everybody who's coming into the country needs to get a test within 24 hours of getting on the plane to come here.
Well, what about people who don't take a plane and just these border crossers coming in huge numbers?
Yeah, no, that's a different issue. For example, when you talk, we still have Title 42 with regard to protection at the border. So there are protections at the border that you don't have the capability, as you know, of somebody getting on a plane, getting checked, looking at a passport. We don't have that there.
And the U.S. has found one case in the new variant in California from a traveler who returned from South Africa. Actor and producer Alec Baldwin is insisting he didn't pull the trigger on the gun that killed a cinematographer and wounded the director on the New Mexico set of his film Rust. In his first interview since the deadly October 21st shooting, a tearful Baldwin told ABC News George Stephanopoulos that he has no idea how the live bullet ended up in the firearm.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So no. You never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
And authorities have previously said that Baldwin was holding the prop gun while rehearsing a scene at the Bonanza Creek Ranch near Santa Fe when it accidentally discharged. Cinematographer Halma Hutchins was killed and director Joel Souza was also injured after they were struck by the live round. And your Christmas tree will cost a lot more this year, and climate change may be to blame. The heat dome that trapped scorching temperatures over Oregon this summer also cooked 70% of noble fir saplings, which is a popular variety for Christmas trees. Oregon, which is deemed the epicenter of the Christmas tree industry, typically grows and harvests at least 5 million trees each year. Now, shipping delays and also inflation are also adding increased costs and anxiety to holiday buyers. And now let's get a check of the weather today with our own Matt Sapienza. Matt, how's it looking?
It's looking 40% chance of rain, cloudy. Good morning, everybody. It's going to be cloudy with a low around 47, south wind around 13 miles an hour as it stands. For the day as a whole, 30% chance of rain, mainly before 7 this morning. Cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 58. Southwest wind, 11 to 16 miles an hour tonight. A 30% chance of rain before 1 a.m. Partly cloudy, low around 42. Tomorrow for your Friday, you're going to see a sunny sky with a high near 44. Northwest wind around 15 miles an hour. Friday night, partly cloudy, low around 39. And Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 45. Right now, in New York City, it is 48 WABC degrees. Rita?
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. And on to other big stories in the news today. And this is a big one. The first U.S. case of the Omicron COVID-19 variant has been found in California. Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said that the infection was detected in San Francisco when a vaccinated traveler returned to the area after visiting South Africa on November 22nd. Now, the individual was fully vaccinated and had mild symptoms that are improving, and that person is also self-quarantining at this time. Meantime, Democratic Congressman Tom Suozzi, who just this week entered the race for governor, praised disgraced ex-governor Andrew Cuomo's leadership during the COVID-19 pandemic. He may want to take that one back. Cuomo reportedly, of course, used staff and other government resources to net over $5 million in a pandemic book deal, also fueled fatalities in nursing homes by ordering COVID-19 stricken patients back into them. That was that state health declaration. And then there are reports that he hid the true death toll numbers from the public. But Tom Suozzi said of Cuomo during his first public policy press conference since announcing his own bid for governor, he did accomplish a tremendous amount. But Suozzi did also say that Cuomo has his flaws, saying he's got problems. He's got very serious allegations about his conduct, which should be very concerning to all of us. And a related story, a Facebook manager who once worked for Andrew Cuomo secretly advised the disgraced ex-governor's team to, quote, victim shame a sexual harassment accuser, according to text messages that were released this week by the New York Attorney General's office. Now, the Facebook staffer then sought to cover up her involvement in advising the governor. That's according to those messages. It says, like, I'm nervous about FB, meaning Facebook, knowing I've been working on this, etc., according to Danny Lever, the former Cuomo staffer who wrote in March about her new employer. That same evening as that message, Cuomo spokesperson Rich Azzapardi told Lever he'd gotten her name removed from a news story that was set to come out. Meantime, also, Stacey Abrams launched a campaign for Georgia governor on Wednesday with a pledge to fight for economic equality, also expand health care access, also setting a potential rematch against Republican Governor Brian Kemp. Of course, that was a very heated match that they had the first time in one of the nation's most competitive political battlegrounds. The Democrat announced her campaign with a video that highlighted her work in the state since her very narrow defeat in 2018 to Kemp, along with this powerful message. This is what she had to say.
Leadership that doesn't take credit without also taking responsibility. Leadership that understands the true pain folks are feeling and has real plans. That's the job of governor. To fight for one Georgia, our Georgia. And now it's time to get the job done.
And meantime, her decision, long expected by local Democrats, clears the way for what could be a titanic showdown between the two longtime rivals. That is, if Kemp survives a GOP nomination first, because there are reports of many people wanting to challenge him. And again, that is a hotbed state. We'll keep you posted on that. In other big political news, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy pleaded with Republicans to stop attacking each other as they keep getting mired in nasty personal fights, admonishing them that Congress is not junior high. I love that line. During a closed-door meeting with rank-and-file Republicans, McCarthy said that the intra-party squabbles among a handful of Republicans, primarily between the far-right flank and the more moderate members, weren't helpful for the GOP as they seek to win back the majority in 2022. And while 99% were doing the right thing, McCarthy said that he urged the remaining 1% of his GOP conference to stop the infighting and to quit talking publicly about a speaker's race that is more than a year away. And meantime, Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor on Wednesday suggested that the high court would not survive the stench if it were to uphold Mississippi's controversial 15-week abortion ban. While grilling the attorney backing the Mississippi law during oral arguments, Sotomayor suggested that the court would be perceived as highly politicized were it to undermine the very well-known 1973 decision in Roe v. Wade.
The right of a woman to choose, the right of to control her own body, has been clearly set for since Casey, and never challenged. You want us to reject that line of viability and adopt something different. 15 justices over 50 years have reaffirmed that basic viability line. Four have said no, two of them members of this court, but 15 justices have said yes, of varying political backgrounds. Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts?
And there is now a 6-3 conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme court. And now let's get a check on sports with our own Matt Sapienza. Give us the lowdown, Matt.
All right, here's what's going on in the world of sports. Good morning, Rita. Chris Kreider scored again, and Igor Shesterkin stopped 33 shots to help the New York Rangers beat the Philadelphia Flyers 4-1 last night for their fourth straight win. Artemi Panarin had a goal and an assist. Dryden Hunt scored, and so did Jacob Trouba.
Here's Trouba with a one-timer. He scores! Jacob Trouba! It's a power play goal!
Capo Caco also added two assists, and the Rangers won for the eighth time in nine games. New York has won it six in a row at home. Shesterkin made 11 saves in the first period, 15 in the second, and 7 in the third to improve to 12-3-2 with 2.15 goals against average this season. That's the sports at 15-45. I'm Matt Sapienza, that's WABC Sports. Back to you, Rita.
And now let's get a look at traffic with our Joe Nolan. How are the roadways looking today, Joe?
Well, Rita, we got ourselves a couple of problems out here. You know, whenever it gets rainy like this, you're going to have accidents. I mean, it just happens. So as you travel on the northbound side now of the Jersey Turnpike on the eastern spur over by 15W, there's an accident. Right lane going to be out of service. We're also looking at delays Jersey bound on the Gothels Bridge getting to the Turnpike. All lanes are closed on that ramp structure with an overturned vehicle. Some road work tonight on the Staten Island Expressway. Lower level Verrazano, that should be out of the way within the hour. 45 is the posted speed limit up at the Tappan Zee Bridge. Trans Authority delays on the 1 and the E lines, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations once again today are going to be in effect. So not that bad a start, but still a couple of things out there you need to know about. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, Joe, thank you so much. Keep us posted. And now let's get a check on the weather. You heard from Joe that it is wet. It's slippery out there. So how are the next few days going to look, especially as we're heading to the weekend? Matt Sapienza, give us the lowdown on that.
Well, here's what's going on in the world of weather. A 30% chance of rain mainly before 7 o'clock this morning. Then it's going to be gradually become mostly sunny today, but overall, as it stands right now, it's going to be cloudy with a high near 58. Southwest wind 11 to 16 miles an hour. Tonight, we're going to see a 30% chance of rain before 1 a.m. Partly cloudy, low around 42. Sunny tomorrow with a high near 44. That should be a great day compared to all this rain. And Sunday and Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 45. Sunday is going to be a bit hotter, high of 54. So a big jump this weekend. Right now in New York City, it is 48 WABC degrees. And Rita, back to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. We appreciate it. And looks like it's going to be nice, at least a little on and off again, but that's good news. Thanks so much, Matt. Meantime, on to other news. And again, this is Rita Cosby filling in for Juliet Huddy and also Frank Morano on the 77 WABC Early News. I am thrilled to be with all of you guys this morning. Here are some of the other headlines. The Bush administration will extend the transportation mask mandate through mid-March. That's big news amid concerns over the COVID-19's Omicron variant. That's according to a report. President Biden is expected to touch on the mask extension during the day today when he addresses the nation on his administration's response to the new virus strain. And that is according to sources telling Reuters news agency. The current order was put in place shortly after Biden took office in January and requires travelers to wear masks on airplanes, trains and buses and at airports and also train stations. The mask mandate was already extended in August and will now be in effect until March 19th. Meantime, hundreds of New York City corrections officers could be suspended after failing to meet a COVID vaccine deadline this week. About 1,000 of New York City's 8,500 corrections officers were still unvaccinated as of Wednesday and could face unpaid leave. Mayor Bill de Blasio, meantime, announced that jailers could work 12-hour shifts from up their typical 8 hours, and that would be to meet the unexpected shortages that could occur here. Now, the head of the Corrections Officers Union says that the shortage, quote, will have a catastrophic impact on the safety of our officers and the thousands of inmates in our custody. Meantime, some business news here. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is not at all sure that inflation will subside next year. And that is, of course, big concerns. We've seen it impacting the markets left and right with big drops. And lots of folks in the economic sphere have been watching this closely. Well, Powell told the House Financial Services Committee that most economists regard the current price spikes, which have sent consumer inflation to a three-decade high, as largely a response to the pandemic's persistent disruptions to supply and also to demand. Take a listen to Jerome Powell talking about this.
The recent rise in COVID-19 cases and the emergence of the Omicron variant pose downside risks to employment and economic activity and increased uncertainty for inflation. Greater concerns about the virus could reduce people's willingness to work in person, which would slow progress in the labor market and intensify supply chain disruptions.
And meantime, Americans have spent more time at home. They have ramped up spending on a number of key items such as furniture, appliances, laptop computers. Soaring demands for such goods combined with also part shortages have resulted in supply chain snarls and higher prices. And again, we'll keep you posted on that, of big, big concern. Meantime, other big news. Goldman CEO David Solomon warned New York City leaders not to take the Big Apple's reputation as a center of business for granted. Solomon said that the city must keep its cost of living, its tax rate, and business incentives competitive. New York has to be aware that there are good choices and it's got to keep itself attractive, Solomon said in comments, which were published on Tuesday, that were made at the Times conference for the Financial Times. Now, incentives matter, taxes matter, cost of living matters, according to Solomon. And he also added that the most dire predictions made as the COVID-19 pandemic slammed New York City last year have proven to be wrong. And he said the good news is the city is not going away. I am happy to hear that news. Well, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki refused on Wednesday to rule out tax cuts for people with incomes above $400,000 and President Biden's nearly $2 trillion social and environmental spending bill, despite resistance from leftists led by Senator Bernie Sanders. Now, the issue is a huge sticking point among Democrats, as either centrists or self-declared socialists in the party can tank the legislation in the evenly divided Senate and also the narrowly divided House, which is very, very tight. Meantime, a story coming, also another one, this one from Capitol Hill, where the January 6th Select Committee voted on Wednesday to hold Trump's Department of Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark in contempt of Congress. The 7-Democrat, 2-Republican panel approved of a report recommending the criminal charge by a unanimous 9-0 vote. And it comes after Clark appeared before the committee in November, but declined to answer any questions related to that. Now, the vote is likely a way to stop Trump aides and allies from complying with subpoenas to appear before the committee, but not cooperating in testifying. And New York City's chancellor, the school's chancellor, Maisha Porter, on Wednesday announced that she is leaving the Department of Education at the end of the month to head a Bronx nonprofit, clearing the way for a new head of city schools in Mayor-elect Eric Adams' administration. Porter said that she will be founding CEO of the Bronx Community Foundation, formed to raise money for initiatives in the borough. She is the first Black woman to serve as chancellor of the nation's largest public school system. And despite her short time in the top job, Porter said that she was able to make key decisions about the education department's future, including her replacement.
I think my biggest achievement was reopening schools in a pandemic. I think, you know, there were a lot of naysayers, and so that was definitely high on my list.
And the former school's chancellor, David Banks, is now rumored to be the front runner to replace her as chancellor in the incoming Adams administration. And we will keep you posted on that. A 17-year-old city student was busted with a loaded 9-millimeter pistol and more than $30,000 in cash inside a Brooklyn high school Wednesday. This is according to law enforcement officials. Now, a school secretary spotted what she believed to be a firearm inside the backpack of a student at the Urban Assembly School for Law and Justice in downtown Brooklyn. It happened around noon. The staffer reported the weapon while the tardy student reported his attendance inside a school office. NYPD units were called to the scene and discovered a stack of bills amounting to more than $30,000, which is absolutely incredible, along with a loaded gun. The teen was arrested and was also taken to a local precinct for processing. And we're trying to determine if there's any other history with this teen. And now let's get a check on the weather with our Matt Sapienza. Matt, how's it looking?
It's looking pretty average right now, Rita. Here's what's going on right now. A 30% chance of rain mainly before 7 in the morning. Cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 58. Tomorrow, it's going to be sunny, high near 44. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 39. And then to begin your weekend on Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 45. And then Sunday, it's going to be partly sunny, but the temperature is going to rise up. It's going to be around 54 degrees. Right now in New York City, it is 50 degrees under overcast skies. WABC time is 29 and a half minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll be right back with the second half of the WABC Early News in just 1 minute.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
And good morning, everybody. This is Rita Cosby filling in for Juliet and Frank. I am thrilled to be with you this morning here on the 77 WABC early morning news. This is the best place to be, of course, of all. And Bernie and Sid are going to be coming up after me. We're going to have a preview with Sid later on in this half hour. So also traffic and weather. We have all the news covered. And first, let's get to the top five this morning.
It's the top five at 5:30.
The 15-year-old Michigan high school gunman is arraigned as an adult terrorist. This is big news. Police say that Ethan Crumley had a meeting with his parents and also teachers to discuss his behavior just 3 hours before he opened fire in the hallways of Oxford High School and killed four of his classmates. Prosecutors say that they have plenty of evidence to show that he carefully planned the deadly attack.
Two separate videos recovered from Ethan's cell phone taken in a search warrant depicted a video made by him the night before the incident wherein he talked about shooting and killing students the next day at Oxford High School. A preliminary review of social media accounts indicate that Ethan Crumley had access to a firearm and he practiced with a Sig Sauer handgun.
We've charged four counts of first-degree murder, which requires premeditation.
And Crumbly's motive for the shooting on Tuesday still remains unknown. Classmates say that he was being bullied, but police say no bullying was ever officially reported. The U.S. Supreme Court signals that it may uphold abortion limits in a very controversial Mississippi case after the high court heard 90 minutes in oral arguments on Wednesday. The Mississippi law bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy, with only very few exceptions, such as medical emergencies. Now, a majority of the court's conservative justices suggested that they were prepared to discard the court's previous standard that prevented states from banning abortions before a fetus becomes viable, which is generally considered to be at about 24 weeks into a pregnancy. Justice Brett Kavanaugh said this.
I think the other side would say that the core problem here is that the court has been forced by the position you're taking and by the cases to pick sides on the most contentious social debate in American life.
And the three more liberal justices warned that the court would appear to be a political body if it tossed out abortion rulings that the country had relied on for decades, such as Roe v. Wade. Dr. Anthony Fauci said that he believes the new travel ban put in place to protect the U.S. from the new Omicron COVID-19 variant will only be temporary. He told a reporter in the White House briefing room that they struggled with the ban for people from eight African countries and said that they wanted to see if they could just buy time temporarily. Meantime, Fox reporter Peter Ducey asked Fauci about the apparent hypocrisy of banning flights into America while a historic number of illegal immigrants come through our southern border and they are not being tested.
Dr. Fauci, as you advise the president about the possibility of new testing requirements for people coming into this country, does that include everybody?
The answer is yes, because you know that the new regulation, if you want to call it that, is that anybody and everybody who's coming into the country needs to get a test within 24 hours of getting on the plane to come here.
Well, what about people who don't take a plane and just these border crossers coming in huge numbers?
Yeah, no, but that's a different issue.
That's a different issue. In other words, I'm not going to answer that. Well, the U.S. has found one case in the new variant in California from a traveler who returned from South Africa. Actor and producer Alec Baldwin is insisting that he didn't pull the trigger on the gun that killed a cinematographer and wounded the director on the New Mexico set of his film Rust. In his first interview since the deadly October 21st shooting, a very tearful Alec Baldwin told ABC News's George Stephanopoulos that he had no idea how the live bullet ended up in that firearm.
It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
And authorities have previously said that Baldwin was holding the prop gun while rehearsing a scene at the Bonanza Creek Ranch near Santa Fe when it accidentally discharged. Cinematographer Halma Hutchins was killed and director Joel Souza was injured after they were struck by a live round. And your Christmas tree will cost a lot more this year, and climate change may be partly to blame. The heat dome that trapped scorching temperatures over Oregon this summer also cooked 70% of noble fir saplings, which is a popular variety for Christmas trees. Oregon, which is deemed the epicenter of the Christmas tree industry, typically grows and harvests at least 5 million trees each year. Shipping delays and inflation are also adding increased cost and anxiety to many holiday buyers. And that is our top five at five. And now let's get a check on the weather. It's Thursday. That means Friday. And that means weekend is coming up.
Yeah.
At the end. So give us the lowdown.
Here's what's going on. A 30% chance of rain today, mainly before 7 o'clock this morning. It's going to be cloudy overall, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 58. Southwest wind 11 to 16 miles an hour tonight. A 30% chance of rain, mainly before 1 a.m. Partly cloudy overall, high with a low around 42. Tomorrow, sunny, high near 44. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, low around 39. It's going to be a beautiful Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 45. And then Sunday, partly sunny, but the temperature is going to jump up high around 54. Right now in New York City, it is 50 degrees and it is overcast. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's the weather. I'll be back in a couple minutes for the sports. Rita?
Thank you very much. We will take nice and sunny and in the 50s. That sounds good. Thanks so much, Matt. And on to other big news this morning. Stacey Abrams has launched a campaign for Georgia governor with a pledge to fight for economic equality and expand health care access, also setting up a potential rematch against Republican Governor Brian Kemp in one of the nation's most competitive political battlegrounds. The Democrat announced her campaign with a video that highlighted her work in the state since her narrow 2018 defeat to Kemp, along with this message.
Leadership that doesn't take credit without also taking responsibility. Leadership that understands the true pain folks are feeling and has real plans. That's the job of governor, to fight for one Georgia, our Georgia. And now it's time to get the job done.
And her decision, long expected by local Democrats there in Georgia, clears the way for what could be a titanic showdown between two longtime political rivals. And that is, of course, if Kemp survives a fight for the GOP nomination first. And there are expected to be a lot of people in that nomination process. And also other big political news, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has been pleading with Republicans, according to a report, to stop attacking each other as they keep getting mired in nasty political fights, admonishing them that, and I love this line, Congress is not junior high. During a closed door meeting with rank and file Republicans, McCarthy said that the intra-party squabbles among a handful of Republicans, primarily between the far right flank and more moderate members, weren't helpful for the GOP as they seek to win back the majority in 2022. While 99% were doing the right thing, McCarthy has said, he urged the remaining troubled 1% of his GOP conference to stop the infighting and to quit talking publicly about a speaker's race that it is still more than a year away. And Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor on Wednesday suggested that the high court would not survive the stench. That's her quote. If it were to uphold Mississippi's controversial 15-week abortion ban, while grilling the attorney backing the Mississippi law during oral arguments, Sotomayor suggested that the court would be perceived as highly politicized and highly polarized were it to undermine the very famous 1973 decision in Roe v. Wade.
The right of a woman to choose, the right of, to control her own body, has been clearly set for since Casey and never challenged. You want us to reject that line of viability and adopt something different. 15 justices over 50 years have reaffirmed that basic viability line. Four have said no, two of them members of this court. But 15 justices have said yes, of varying political backgrounds. Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts?
Very strong words from her, and there is now a 6-3 conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, the Biden administration will extend the transportation mask mandate through mid-March amid concerns over the COVID-19's Omicron variant. According to a report, President Biden is expected to touch on the mask extension on Thursday, today, when he addresses the nation on his administration's response to the new virus strain. Now, the current order was put in place shortly after Biden took office in January, and it requires travelers to wear masks on airplanes, trains, and buses, and at airports and also train stations. The mandate was already extended in August and will now be in effect, get this, until March 18th. And hundreds of New York City corrections officers could be suspended after failing to meet a COVID vaccine deadline this week. About 1,000 of New York City's 8,500 corrections officers were still unvaccinated on Wednesday, and they could face unpaid leave. That is a very big deal. Again, over 1,000, it's about 1,100 of them. Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that jailers could work 12-hour shifts, and that's up from the typical 8 hours to meet these expected shortages. And the head of the Corrections Officers Union said that the shortage will have a catastrophic impact on the safety of our officers and also on the thousands of inmates in our safety, and said it will have a dramatic, dramatic effect. Again, we will keep you posted as to what happens and how many of them could almost urgently face unpaid leave. And now let's get a check of the sports today. Lots of good hot sports stories. And who better to tell us all about it than our own Matthew Sapienza. Go ahead, Matt. What do you got?
I try. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. Chris Kreider scored again, and Igor Shesterkin stopped 33 shots to help the Rangers beat the Philadelphia Flyers 4-1 last night for their fourth straight win. Artemi Panarin had a goal and an assist. Dryden Hunt scored, and so did Jacob Trouba.
Here's Trouba with a one-timer. He scores! Jacob Trouba! It's a power play goal!
Kaapo Kakko also added two assists as the Rangers won for the eighth time in 9 games. New York has won 6 in a row at home. Shesterkin made 11 saves in the first period, 15 in the second, and 7 in the third to improve to 12-3-2 with 2.15 goals against average this season. And a lockout of Major League Baseball players appeared imminent after talks between the league and the union ended after just 7 minutes of negotiations yesterday afternoon, less than 12 hours before the expiration of the game's collective bargaining agreement. In what's likely to be the last talks between the parties before the league's expected lockout of players today, leaders for both sides met at the Four Seasons Dallas at Las Colinas. When the meeting adjourned minutes later, the officials from the league left the hotel and players were told talks were done for the day. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. I'm Matt Sapienza, back with the weather in just a couple minutes. In seconds, rather. Rita?
And now let's get a look at traffic with our Joe Nolan. How are the roads looking, Joe? Let's get a look at the weather with our Matt Sapienza. How's it looking?
It's looking pretty average, Rita. 30% chance of rain, mainly before 7 o'clock this morning. It's going to be cloudy overall, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 58. Southwest wind, 11 to 16 miles an hour today. Tonight, a 30% chance of rain before 1 in the morning. That's when I'll be back here at work. Partly cloudy with a low around 42. West wind about 18 miles an hour. Friday, it's going to be sunny with a high near 44. For your weekend, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 45 on Saturday. And Sunday, the temperature is going to jump up, high near 54 with partly sunny skies. Right now in New York City, it is 50 degrees and it's overcast. WABC News Time is 5:48. I'm Matt Sapienza, and that's the weather as it stands right now. And now back to Rita with more headlines.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. We appreciate it. Well, on to the news, and there's still a lot of big stories. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is not at all sure that inflation will subside next year, and that is really troubling business news. Powell told the House Financial Services Committee that most economists regard the current price spikes, which have sent consumer inflation to a three-decade high, as largely a response to the pandemic's persistent disruptions to supply and demand. Take a listen.
The recent rise in COVID-19 cases and the emergence of the Omicron variant pose downside risks to employment and economic activity and increased uncertainty for inflation. Greater concerns about the virus could reduce people's willingness to work in person, which would slow progress in the labor market and intensify supply chain disruptions.
And as Americans have spent more time at home, they have ramped up spending on some key items such as furniture, also appliances, laptops also. Soaring demand for such goods combined with part shortages have resulted in supply chain snarls and higher prices. And again, very disrupting news that he says that he is not sure that inflation will fade next year. That is really, really troubling to hear. Meantime, Goldman CEO David Solomon warned that New York City leaders not to take the Big Apple's reputation as a center of business for granted. Solomon said that the city must keep its cost of living, tax rate, and business incentives competitive. He said that New York has to be aware that there are good choices, and it's got to keep itself attractive, and it's got to be appealing. He made those comments at a conference for the Financial Times publications. He further said that incentives matter, taxes matter, cost of living matters. Solomon added that the most dire predictions made as the COVID-19 pandemic slammed New York City last year have proven to be wrong, and that the city is, quote, not going away. And that is good news to hear. Meantime, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki refused on Wednesday to rule out tax cuts for people with incomes above $400,000 in President Biden's nearly $2 trillion social and environmental spending bill. That's despite resistance from leftists led by Senator Bernie Sanders. And yes, he is leftist. Well, the issue is a sticking point among Democrats, as either centrist or self-declared socialists in the party can tank the legislation in the evenly divided Senate and narrowly divided House as well. And the January 6th Select Committee voted Wednesday to hold Trump Department of Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark in contempt of Congress. Now, the 7-Democrat, 2-Republican panel approved a report recommending the criminal charge by a unanimous 9-0 vote. And it comes after Clark appeared before the committee in November, but declined to answer questions. The vote is likely a way to stop Trump aides and allies from complying with subpoenas to appear before the committee, but not cooperate in testifying. And Democratic Congressman Tom Suozzi, who just this week entered the race for governor, praised disgraced ex-governor Andrew Cuomo's leadership during the COVID-19 pandemic. Cuomo reportedly used staff and other government resources to net a $5.1 million pandemic book deal. We know all about that. Also fueled fatalities in nursing homes by ordering COVID-19 stricken patients back into them, and then also reportedly hid the true death toll numbers from the public. He did accomplish a tremendous amount. That's what Suozzi said of Cuomo during his first policy press conference since announcing his bid for governor. He may be walking back that statement. But Suozzi did also add that Cuomo has his flaws, saying he's got problems. He's got very serious allegations about his conduct, which should be very, very concerning to all of us. And meantime, on a related story, a Facebook manager who once worked for Andrew Cuomo secretly advised the disgraced ex-governor's team to victim shame a sexual harassment accuser. Now, according to text messages that were released this week by the New York Attorney General's office, the Facebook staffer then sought to cover up her involvement in advising the governor, according to various messages. Well, like I am nervous and Facebook knowing I've been working in this, she said, et cetera, et cetera. That's Danny Lever, according to those messages. That's the former Cuomo staffer. And she wrote that in March about her new employer. Now, the same evening as that message, Cuomo spokesman Rich as a Party told Lever that he'd gotten her name removed from a news story that was set to come out. So boy, that is really, really, really powerful stuff. And meantime, New York City Schools Chancellor Myesha Porter on Wednesday announced that she is leaving the Department of Education at the end of the month to head a Bronx nonprofit, clearing the way for a brand new head of schools in Mayor-elect Eric Adams' administration. Porter said that she will be funding CEO She will be rather the founding CEO of the Bronx Community Foundation, which is formed to raise money for initiatives in the borough. She is the first Black woman to serve as chancellor of the nation's largest public school system. And despite her short time in the top job, Porter said that she was able to make key decisions about the education department's future, including her replacement.
I think my biggest achievement was reopening schools in a pandemic. I think, you know, there were a lot of naysayers, and so that was definitely high on my list.
And former school's chancellor David Banks is now rumored to be the front runner to replace her as chancellor in the incoming Adams administration. And a disturbing story, a 17-year-old New York City student was busted with a loaded 9-millimeter pistol and more than $30,000 in cash inside a Brooklyn high school on Wednesday. Now, that's according to law enforcement sources. A school secretary spotted what she believed to be a firearm inside the backpack of a student at the Urban Assembly School for Law and Justice in downtown Brooklyn. That happened around noon. The staffer spotted the weapon while the tardy student reported that there was attendance issues inside a school office. NYPD units were called to the scene, and they discovered a stack of bills, get this, amounting to more than $30,000, along with the loaded gun. And the teen has now been arrested and taken to a local precinct for processing. And those are some of the big headlines. And now let's get a check on weather with our Matt Sapienza. Matt, give us the preview.
All right, here's what's going on in the wide world of weather. It's 30% chance of rain today, mainly before 7 o'clock this morning. It's going to be cloudy overall, then gradually becoming mostly sunny, high near 58. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 44. Your weekend, here's what it's looking like. Mostly sunny, high near 45, and then Sunday, the temperature is going to jump up high around 54, and it's going to be partly sunny on Sunday. Right now in New York City, it's 50 degrees, and it's overcast. I'm going to have a difficult time driving home with all that fog. And WABC time, 1 minute to 6 o'clock, and here's what's going on. Here's Rita Cosby. Rita?
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. It has been great being with all of you this morning. Everybody, happy Hanukkah. And also make sure that you stay tuned to Bernie and Sid, the best morning show ever coming up. And he's in the house. And I have had a ball filling in for all of you, for Juliet and Frank here on the 77 WABC Early News. And I'll be back tonight at 10 p.m. I'll talk to you then.